Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. In this episode, we're talking about the number one hack that British Olympic gold rowing legends learned on their road to the gold medal at the 2000 Summer Olympics in Sydney, Australia. It's an astounding story of success in the face of adversity, success in the face of a history of failure. It had been 88 years since their last gold medal at the Olympics. They hadn't won since 1912. So for 88 years, the British team had only experienced failure. I don't know where silvers or bronzes or whatever, but they hadn't come in. They had not been champions in over 88 years. Why I love this story is definitely for myself, you know, my first 12 years of marriage on a level, intermittent periods where there were nice things that were happening, of course, yet there was a history of mounting failure. The successful, connected, attractive earlier times were dwindling. Progressively, the more over time I went, our marriage went, the less the so-called success of marriage was showing up. There was less and less connection, less and less trust, less and less attraction, and it really had started meandering around same shit, different day. So the story of the great Britain rowing team of that, it's an astounding story for every single one of us to tap into, because there is this long-term history of failure, and what they did to snap out of that is all focused on one statement. So before we jump in there, I want to say thank you to every single one of you listening in. We're coming in at a key moment for the podcast. If you're fresh to it, you're very welcome. And actually today, I believe I'm welcoming in a massive upsurge of powerful British badasses, because the podcast came in number 2 in the top 30 podcasts for husbands on the planet in a million podcast review. It's a wonderful accolade, and it comes in a moment that, as of recording now, this is episode 250. All-time episodes in the podcast. So it's a major celebration. And with coming in number 2 on that list, for whatever means on the internet and online, there has been an upsurge of powerful British badasses listening in. There was like, it went from 10% overall listenership up to something like 35% over the last week when that review came out. So this is the spontaneous timing of this. I was reading the book by... Who is it? By Jake Humphreys and Professor Damien Hughes from the High Performance Podcast. Their book, I was rereading it. I'd read it a couple of years ago. The book is called High Performance, Lessons from the Best on Becoming Your Best. And it was at the beginning of this week, I reread the bit about the Great Britain team and their success. And it's coming in now. And I said, well, what's the perfect timing in this? There was a big influx of powerful British badasses. Hey, I'll put this as a focus this week. I was going to do it anyway, but it's in celebration and acknowledgement and in a welcoming ceremony to you guys tuning in. Let's get back to the story and why it has so much power for every single husband on the planet. In preparations for the 2000 Summer Olympics, again, the scene has been set. There is this long-standing, almost one century of a history of failure to succeed despite intentions. Every single one of you listening in have been showing up in marriage with, you know, by and large, good intentions, trying to do your best, but your best doesn't seem good enough. So the best didn't seem good enough for countless teams over 88 years. It's an astounding amount of Olympics that they went through where the best intentions were never just good enough. What really gets me going is the simplicity with which the team gets me going is the simplicity with which the team turned it around. They had one major focusing strategy that transformed them from 88 years history of repeated Olympics to come of more British rowing success. It's a phenomenon to take on the juice in your nervous system that, yes, this is a strategy that listening in. You, and no matter what your name is, and I can't speak to you one-to-one, but imagine that I am. I'm saying you, Todd, you, Tom, you, Mike, you, Sean, you, like I'm speaking to you personally, you. No matter what your intentions are for listening in, and hey, the highest majority of guys listening in, it's because, hey, the same shit, different day, it's taking its toll on your marriage and you want infinitely better. So you have a history where you're just not getting what you want in marriage. Your best intentions just aren't working. Not to the level that you need. And maybe there's a day it's taking its toll on your marriage and you want infinitely better. So you have a history where you're just not getting what you want in marriage. Your best intentions just aren't working. Not to the level that you need. And maybe there's a deep pressure in the background from your queen within yourself of, you know, you got to make things happen and make things happen fast. This strategy that we're going to be talking about is going to support you, every single one of you listening in, to get black and white in a decisive way, to practice being decisive in every given moment. And why I'm bringing this one in is being decisive is a deeply masculine characteristic. When you lack it, trust diminishes and goes in your marriage. When you are able to bring about being decisive in a moment, trust comes online. And when trust comes online for your queen, attraction comes online, connection comes online, all the good shit comes back online when she establishes a feeling of trust. But the trust within your queen's nervous system must have an embodiment of decisiveness in your nervous system. So how did this British team go from 88 years of a history of repeated loss, of repeated failure, into massive spectacular success? They had one clarifying question. Just one. It wasn't like a 27 pointed principles document and the guys all had to learn. It was fucking one clarifying question. And the one clarifying question was this: will this make the boat go faster? Every team member on the ultimately success laden gold medal winning team that go down into the legacy of Great Britain major Olympic wins, each team member had to take this question on board and marinate his nervous system in it to the point that his nervous system was controlled by this one guiding question. Will this make the boat go faster? Now, why is this so powerful? Probably you're intelligent badasses, you're probably getting there already, but let's look under the bonnet at why this one question was so powerful for this rowing team, again with that history of 88 years of failure. On a practical basis, you know, and I could give, you know, 1,000 examples of what this meant practically to them, but you know, Olympic rowers are humans. You know, you might look at them on TV like you look at footballers on TV, like you look at celebrities on TV, but it doesn't matter what the title is. We are all humans. We have human things happening, no matter what our goals are. So you have these Olympians, yet, you know, when they can go to the peak performance training camp where they have all the sports physiologists, the mindset coaches, they have the team support, the accountability. Yet the major thing that this question provided to each one of these members was its guidance when they were not in the team, albeit it did glue them together there. The major thing was, you know, what happens when you're not at the training camp and you're a regular human being, because we are all regular human beings, no matter what the sensationalism of TV and the celebrity culture that is all pervasive. We're all regular human beings. This question came into its own in guiding each one of these members. It's like, you know, the simple thing of, you've got a sugar low and you're having a cup of tea. Will I have a donut with my cup of tea? And the guys would ask themselves inside, will this make the boat go faster? And you just, you know, in that moment, it's like, no. Donut laden with sugar. Sugar's not great. That's not good. It's empty calories. No. One question helped them lock in moment to moment in the mundane, everyday multitude of different choices. And we are always making choices. In every segment of our day, we're making choices. You know, these guys, they have friends. Funny enough. And, you know, they do their training. They're doing their work. They're feeling good. And then a mate goes, hey, do you want to go out for a few quiet beers, man? You know, the evening before training. And again, you know, whereas in years previous to that, guys would have been, you know, on the British team. And hey, you know, they trained their ass off during the day. So in that moment, a friend, a good mate, bunch of guys from college, whatever. And that sentimentality, the emotional feeling in a moment, ah, I'll just go out for one, you know, guys. And then two or three later, or, you know, you come in at 1 o'clock in the morning, you've had a good time, you know, this mindset of, I deserve that. But you're up at 5 o'clock in the morning for your team training and you don't give it your all. You can't give it your all. And it affects the entire team. These guys ask the question, will this make the boat go faster? No, it won't. Thanks, guys. I'll catch up with you again. I've got training in the morning. Maybe some weekend. Hey, I've got like a, we've got a week off in, you know, 2 weeks time. Let's arrange to go out for beers then. Or, you know, we'll go out. I won't drink. Again, will alcohol make the boat move faster? You know, like, simple thing. Like, oh, I'm too tired to prepare my training gear. I'm after coming in from work. I had training. There's training in the morning. I'll do it in the morning. Well, as you do one thing, you do all things. Will this make the boat move faster? Well, no. If I have to get up in the morning, I'm getting up super early anyway, and then I have to prepare my gear, I'm probably going to be rushed, and I mightn't have time to have my breakfast before I go to training, blah, 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 blah. No, I'll fucking do it now. It will not make the boat move faster. Now, you think of over the course of, you know, it's a few years that these guys are preparing to win gold at the Olympics. This one guiding question supported their nervous system discern and decide in a moment-to-moment basis in the mundane, always changing, relatively unpredictable aspects of life, of situations that were popping up every moment of every day where they had to make a decision. This one guiding question helped them clarify. They would say no to the vast majority, and in clarifying no and knowing what to say no to, what were they saying yes to? Making the boat move faster. It's so ridiculously simple. I fucking love this. And when I read this, I got inspired by it because I, you know, 6 years ago when my marriage breakdown breakthrough moment came, I came to men's work, and I didn't actually have this as a tool, albeit in the background when I read this in the book, I instantly recognized the simplicity of it. And I recognized that I speak about being black and white with guys I work with, black and white with the guys in the community. Is masculine practice for me is that decisiveness. It's black or white. It works or it doesn't. So I have always oriented my practice to go, does this work or does it not? Does this work, does it not? That was my question. In my marriage with my queen, it was like, hey, Mark, does this work, does it not? Does this way of thinking, does it work, does it not? So mixing together the inspiration of what I was asking within myself, does this work, does it not? With the Great Britain team, like, will this make the boat go faster? I believe one variation of the question that can help you guys with astounding effectiveness to get super decisive and to, like the British team, go from a history of failure in the face of good intentions to having your good intentions finally count on a consistent basis. And that is what every single one of you want. You want that when you invest your time, energy, and attention on your marriage, which is pretty much on a daily basis, you want a good return on your investment. Masculine practice is, if you're putting energy in, you want to fucking get good shit as a return. And that takes effectiveness and it takes decisiveness at the base of it all. The one pointed clarifying question that I believe will work really powerfully for you is, will this make my marriage work better? Will this make my marriage work better? There's a simplicity to it. Lock that in your nervous system. Will this make my marriage work better? A caveat to this, from a practice perspective, maybe you're working on something super specific in your marriage. Maybe there's a trust issue. You know, will this inspire my wife to trust me more? That could be your clarifying question. Or maybe it's, you know, maybe you've licked communication, your queen, yourself. It's like your friends. You communicate really brilliant. You can share your heart and soul. It's like your soulmates, but there's no fuck energy. Maybe your clarifying question could be more specific. Like, will this make our sexual attraction feel hotter? Money issues can be a major thing. Trust issues on money. It's like, will this make my wife trust me more with money? Will this make me more trustworthy with money? So you can tailor the question. I'm going to go, for the purpose of this episode and to lock the idea into your nervous systems and for your nervous systems to start marinating and see just how fucking practical this is, I want everything that I speak to and that I bring and work is like, I want to make it insanely rational and clear how high leverage this is if you put it into practice. You can transform your entire marriage with this one practice. Quite literally, my marriage was, say, does this work? Does it not? Is it working? Is it not? And my feedback in my nervous system would tell me, and my queen's feedback would tell me. And if you've been listening in, queenly feedback for me is like the ultimate feedback. Her feedback would tell me if how I was communicating, was my practice of presence, was it trustworthy? Was it working? Was it not? Is this working? Is it not? It's black or white. Yes or no. There's no real, sort of probable in the, it's either yes or no. So let's go from a practical basis, guys. I believe I'm going to go through, man, it's like 5, 6, 7 mundane, everyday type examples that a lot of us live out. I hear these type examples a ton over the last number of years from speaking and working with guys from around the planet. So the clarifying question, will this make my marriage work better? Like the Olympic rowers, where their objective is to make the boat move faster, you're here to make your marriage work better. So, you know, let's say, mundane situation. You have an awkward moment watching a film on TV. Nothing like a romantic movie, like one of those dramatic movies where they're depicting or acting out a scene that, you know, like that's an awkward one. The argument they're having, that's a topic, that's a red hot topic for you and your queen, and you haven't really spoken to it, and now you're feeling the heat burning through your nervous system, and you're like, oh, you know, and like you're going breathless, your heart is racing, you're wanting the floor to open up and swallow you up. You don't know, should you speak to it? You're just feeling this pressure. You know your queen is there. It's one of those awkward moments. This is a classic thing in marriage. Definitely when there are so-called, you know, quote-unquote, issues in marriage. A ton of things that you have yet to be skillful enough to hold space for any conversation. So you're in that awkward moment. If we were in a room of 10,000 guys, you know, like, put your hands up, guys. Who knows what I'm talking about? Every hand goes up in the room. Guys, get this. It's like, oh, fuck yeah, I know that film. I don't want to, like, you might even have specific films where the entire topic of the film is something that you don't want to watch. You want to avoid that. So you have that awkward moment. You know, you've a choice to make. You have a decision to make in that moment. a ton of times is I'll just ignore it. Just ignore it happened and pretend it just didn't come up. And maybe if I just sit here and stay silent, she'll say nothing, I'll say nothing. It'll be awkward, but the ice will melt eventually. We'll wake up tomorrow, be fine. With this question, will this make my marriage work better? Avoidance will never make your marriage work better. But with that question, you'll know, will this make my marriage work better? Just not speaking to it. You've experienced it. Clearly, your queen has experienced it. Just avoiding the conversation? No, it won't. After the movie, maybe if there's a real tension, it might be worthy to stop the movie and go, hey, baby, I'm experiencing this right now. What are you feeling right now in this moment? I don't want this moment to be lost. I don't want to have a glacier come in and freeze me up and freeze you up and this tension. Do you want to speak to it now? Or, hey, we can speak to it in the morning, but I want to speak to this. You lead the conversation. That's a key practice in Heroic Husbands. Leading the conversations and the system set up to create your expanding family vision. It's progress. It's masculine leadership characteristic number two. Phenomenally simple and yet astoundingly effective. You choose to lead the conversations. The question, will this make my marriage work better? If you're avoiding a conversation, it never will make your marriage work better. A second one is like, oh, it's just one glance at porn. Or it's just one glance, you're scrolling, looking at, hey, tits and ass on Instagram. Oh, it's just one glance, there's a magazine and whatever. And hey, it's just one glance. This idea that it's just this simple, mundane one thing, it's just a glance and, you know, well, she's not even looking type idea. You're doing it in subterfuge. Will this make my marriage work better? Well, unless you have a consciously open marriage and communication with your queen that it's an agreed upon thing that you're looking at porn and that's absolutely fine and it works. It's actually a practice that nurtures your connection with herself and blah, 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 blah. 99.9% of the time, it's not working because it's a thing that's hidden. It's setting down in the pathways, reaffirming the pathways of shame in your nervous system. That question, will this make my marriage work better? No. No, it won't. If you're doing something that you feel you can't just go to your queen and go, hey, I'm watching porn most days. If you're doing something that you can't simply just go to your queen and tell her that you're doing it, it's not working to make your marriage better. So will this make my marriage work better? No, clear answer. Let's imagine it's 5 to 5. You need to log off, be in the car, 1 minute past 5. And you're like, oh, it's just one more email. Then I'll hit the road. Will this make my marriage work better? Well, a ton of times guys end up not being able to hold a container of integrity with their time commitments. And the truth is, if you've been working effectively with unwavering focus throughout the day, when you get to 4:45, 4:50, you know, 10 minutes before going home, you can relaxedly start shutting down, log off from the computer, you know, 4:45, you might be checking those final couple of emails. If there's any urgent ones, you're ticking them off. You have that systematized 15 minutes time where those last minute emails are not in the last minute. They're 15, 20 minutes from the end, if you've got your shit together. So if you get into the same shit different day, oh, just one last email or just one last phone call, you know, there's that client, you know, I thought they were going to ring and then you're like, oh, shucks, you know, that last email, it actually spurred on a deep need because it was an urgent thing and now I have to call the company and blah, blah, blah. Fuck, it's 16 minutes, it's 20 past, it's 10 past and I'm going out the door and now I'm in a rush and now I'm stressed and I'm late again and I have to ring because I was to pick the kids up or I was to pick the laundry up and now the place is closed, blah, 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 blah. Will this make my marriage work better? No. Leave the emails till the morning. It's 5 to 5. Shut down laptop, shut down PC, get your jacket, say goodbye to the people in the office, and at 5:01, be driving out the exit on your way home and be home on time and set that as the new standard. cleaning out the garage, you hear your queen coming in, and you have the thought, you know, I'll say hello when I'm done. It's one of these mundane things that we just throw out, but it's like, will this make my marriage work better? You've hurt her. You're in the garage. How long does it take you to get your arse from the garage or from the room or from your workspace and just go out and welcome your queen home? She's coming from her day. She's coming from minding the kids. She's coming from the fucking, I don't know, whatever appointment she had that could have been potentially very stressful. And it doesn't matter what's happened in your day. She's your queen. Your queen is arriving home. Will this make my marriage work better? Ignoring your queen, your awareness that your queen has come home. No, it won't. Your queen loves you to be present and to be fully aware of what's happening in your fortress. So you take time from your garage, you take time from your work, you take time from whatever. You pop out. If you really need to get back to the thing, that's A-okay. But you come out, hey, baby, good to see you, baby. Kiss on the lips, baby. And like, if you really need to get back, you go, baby, it is so good to see you. It always is. I fucking love you. You're looking amazing. Did I tell you, you know, did I tell you this morning how amazing you look? And she's like, you did. Well, I'm going to tell you again. And if you didn't, well, you're correcting your lack of presence earlier in the morning. You look hot. You look amazing. Baby, I really want to be fully present with you, but I've got to do X, Y, and Z, or finish off X. I'll be up in the kitchen with you in 30 minutes. I want to be fully present when I'm learning how your day was. Or you hold 2 minutes of hearing how her day was in that moment, and then you go, hey, I'll circle back with you in 30 minutes. And you get back to it. The question, will this make my marriage work better? It will help you. You lock that into your nervous system and you start asking yourself incessantly on a moment-to-moment basis. Like, absolutely, if you're feeling a pressure under your collar about where your marriage is at, this question is absolutely necessary. This will help you derive radical clarity to be decisive in what you're saying no to and what you're saying yes to. Like the British rowing team. They learned how to say a powerful no to a ton of things, and thus they said yes to the most important goal, making the boat move faster. A few other things is like, oh, I'm feeling tired, so I'll do my jog later after work. I mean, will this make my marriage work better? You're like, oh, well, that's about my fitness and health. Yeah, well, if you're lazy and you start, as you do one thing, you do all things, you know, I'm tired now, I'll do my jog later on. There's procrastination there. You're up, you're letting your mood in the moment dictate, you know, your discipline or lack of. That really corrodes trust. Our queens are tapping in and listening in and feeling into how decisive we're being with the things that are supportive to our health, that are supportive to our capacity to show up in a relaxed, calm, feeling good, happy, healthy manner. She knows that you feel much better when you get your jog done. So when you in that moment go, but, you know, I'll do my jog later, or, oh, you know, I'm going to skip the meditation group. I'm going to skip that tonight. You're on an online men's circle, or like you're a part of Heroic Husbands. It's like, oh, you know, the King's Coaching calls tonight, but baby, I've had a really packed day. I don't think I have the energy to go on it. She mightn't say anything to you. She mightn't say, get your ass on that call. But is she taking note? Yeah. Every single time. Every single time you let your mood in the moment, your energy in the moment, take you away from something that is supportive for your happiness and for your health, she knows that herself and your kids are going to bear the brunt, because your mood later on just isn't going to be quite as good, or it's going to be catastrophically worse as a result of you skipping this thing that was good for you. So you're feeling tired, you're feeling exhausted, you're feeling hungry, whatever, and you just don't want to do X, Y, or Z that is a ritual that has proven to you before that it helps you feel happier and healthier, and you're feeling a bit lazy and you're putting it off to another time. Bring in the question, will this make my marriage work better? If it's good once for this, for your energy and health and how you feel about yourself, skipping it ain't a good idea. And guys do this all the time. So bring it back. Will this make my marriage work better? No is going to be the answer. I'm going to leave it there, but I could bring 1,000 simple, mundane, everyday type scenarios that a ton of you would nod and go, yeah, that happens on a semi-regular basis in my life. And yet, there's a massive chaos. The challenge for you and for me and for every man here is taking it upon ourselves to realize that being a husband in this time of history, with this profoundly sick society, with the momentum of fucked upness that this society has indoctrinated into our culture, it has never been more challenging to be a husband, to be a leader of a family unit. And yet it has never been more important that we individually, collectively show up to the task as heroes. But part of the profoundly sick society is it has indoctrinated this massive complexity and busyness, and there's this craziness about the tons of responsibilities that we have as modern men that it's very easy to get overwhelming. And in the overwhelm, in the busyness of it, in the frantic inner world, outer world reality that seems to be all pervasive, our energy drops and our presence drops. So it's very challenging to make those high leverage decisions consistently, which puts us individually and collectively on a downward spiral, which creates more stress, more struggle in our marriage, which means our queens want more and more of her time to a point when they just give up and they don't want any of her time, but they want more and more of her time because they're never satisfied with our presence. They're never satisfied that we're fully listening to them. So, and our kids are the same. They're never happy. Like, you sit and play with them for 20 minutes, but they're not happy and satisfied with the 20 minutes or the half an hour, and they want more and more. And it's quite confidence eroding to find that. But it all comes down to you not making effective high leverage choices moment to moment to moment in your everyday reality that are supportive to your nervous system showing up to be trustworthy, to be present, to embody progress, to protect your family by doing the things, saying the things, and thinking in a certain way that supports your marriage experience. Hence, lock this question into your nervous system. Will this make my marriage work better? Will this make my marriage work better? Will this make my marriage work better? I'm remembering my French teacher who used to fucking irritatingly repeat the same sentences again and again. And then years later, I was just repeating these sentences. She locked it in. Will this make my marriage work better? If it worked to help the British legends of Sydney, the Summer Olympics in Sydney 2000, to go into the frickin' Great Britain Hall of Fame of Olympic legends, if it worked for them to absolutely obliterate a history of 88 years of failure to come in with this historic gold, it will work for you. Your queen is depending on you to be the masculine badass, to practice being decisive, to use whatever tools are available to you. And this is an astoundingly powerful tool that will clear up the entire battlefield of chaos that is around you. And it's masculine practice to clarify and find clarity in the chaos. That is masculine practice. There is no greater practice to a husband in marriage than to perceive the entire chaos and come into black and white clarity. That is profoundly masculine. Men that do that in business, in sports, in any endeavor are deeply trustworthy. They're the men that you will go to in a time of need. You need to be that man for yourself first and foremost, for your queen and for your kids. this tool will help you on a day-to-day basis with no matter what energy is happening, no matter what chaos is happening in you, in your queen, in your life. And it's a fucking shitstorm, guys. I know it. This is an intense thing to do. But that is the beautiful spiritual challenge that your marriage, your wife, your queen, and me, the men of the world, humanity is setting you. This tool can help you rise up to the challenge and become the hero you were born to be. Be the king you were born to be. Will this make my marriage work better? And when you start feeling into the clarifying power that brings this brings to your heart, to your soul, to your nervous system, and you start feeling into the momentum that it builds over a day, over a week, over a month, man, after a month of using this, you get a couple of months, your queen is going to be feeling, your body is going to be transmitting a message of decisiveness, powerful, grounding decisiveness. And your queen, it's inevitable that your body will be transmitting a message of decisiveness that will be evoking a feeling in your queen's nervous system of attraction, of deep, inarguable trust in her heart and soul. She's looking at you. She's in presence with you. She just trusts you. She's attracted, she's connected, she's trusting you, and love is flowing. What a fucking beautiful thing. You deserve that reality. Your queen deserves that reality. Your kids and the next seven generations after you deserves it too. You are that powerful. Today is your moment. With massive love and massive acknowledgement and appreciation for all your efforts, your good intentions, guys. But the reminder here is good intentions in marriage aren't worth shit. Decisive masculine practice from the inside out is where it all, that's where the gold is. You're not a victim, you are a victor. And the victors in life, in any endeavor, use whatever are the most powerful tools available for them to win, no matter what the battlefield they're on is. This tool is that powerful. Use it. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this astoundingly beautiful movement, of which you are all a sacred part, and I thank you and I appreciate you for your part in this. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful, decisive, kingly day.